With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Dom Giordano on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Good Thursday, everyone. Welcome in. It is Dom time. I think today, even more than yesterday, there's increased attention on college, the worth of it, the value of it, so-called elite schools. And we saw this piece at philly.com, College Admission Scandal, Latest Sign of Corrupt System, says Villanova researcher. Our guest, Dr. Rick Eckstein, is a professor of sociology at Villanova. Seems to be, from taking a look at his background, though, somebody very, very much talking about sports at that level, particularly, I think, female sports, women's sports in college athletics. And some of the stuff, some of the factoids I read yesterday when I saw it toward the end of the show, are remarkable. How many people might be on a women's crew team, for example, since the Laughlin girls were apparently going to be rowing down some lake at USC or something. Not happening, right? Or how many people might be on the lacrosse team or any of these subsports and the type of nonsense. Yeah, women's crew teams often have 100 rowers. It's not unusual for 30 or 40 players on a college soccer or lacrosse team. What? What do they do, most of these people? Kill grass? Let's go to Dr. Rick here on Talk Radio 1210. Hey, Dr. Rick, welcome. Thanks for joining us today.
Morning, Dom. Thanks for asking me on.
Well, your background seems to have a lot of sports research to it, right?
Yeah, I've been doing that for about the last 10 years, looking at college sports to some degree, but more frequently youth sports and the connection between the pay-to-play youth sports system and college sports.
So pay-to-play and the youth sports system meaning what?
Meaning that to participate in youth sports is increasingly family income restrictive. You have to pay large sums of money to get into a pipeline that eventually ends up in these so-called showcase tournaments. And that's where college recruiters, at least in these non-revenue sports, this is where they tend to do most, if not all, of their recruiting now. So in order to get there, so that's what I meant by business as usual.
Okay.
Means already you have to have money on the front end, even to get into college through this kind of side door is what they're called.
Yeah, like sailing. I mean, I think there's many scouts. I saw Bill Kornfeld out there sailing today. Man, we got to get that guy. You know, I remember talking about this as far back as 10 or 15 years ago. We had a reaction, Dr. Rick, about people paying for batting coaches and stuff like your own kid, you know, 10-year-old kid with a batting coach. And just the mania over this, all to get a college scholarship or a shot at it, versus, when you get into your 16 years of age or something, all right, and you show talent, maybe there's some refining. But right there, we have a duality of this system of how many people are shut out, I think is what your research would indicate.
Yeah, that's right. And things like batting coaches are really just the tip of the iceberg. It's almost pedestrian now to have a batting coach or to go for some batting lessons or for some goalie lessons. These things are 12 months out of the year, nonstop commercial ventures.
Mm-hmm.
They demand your loyalty. They demand your money. And families of more modest means simply can't participate. And in addition to the scholarships, the lure at the end of these pipelines is these admissions advantages that we're learning about more now in this scandal. Oh, and by the way, just for all your listeners and for you guys, there were two sets of twins on Full House, and the Aunt Becky's twins were not the Olsen.
Oh, that's right. Oh, boy, you are a great research. Thanks for the clarity. But the Olsen
really
twins.
Really important that we keep that straight.
No, we do, because one of the Olsens was involved with Lance Armstrong, as far as I remember. I don't know if you've kept current with the Olsen twins.
No, I've tried not to, but I just do remember that there were two sets of twins. That's as far as my Full House knowledge goes.
You said something else, too, Dr. Rick, before we get on to this whole scheme and what the reform is, it possibly. And that is, too, something that I think people, we follow sports here big time. I do. not so much just the wins and losses, but the lessons and the things from it. It saddens me that what's happened with a lot of kids is they specialize in a sport. You were just talking about this.
Right.
You get burnout then. You get repetitive injury. And I'm talking about kids as young as 10 or 11. That's insane to develop an athlete or a human being. You ought to play a multitude of sports is the best way to do it, I think.
Yeah, but that's approaching it from a human development point of view.
Right.
If you want to develop a commercial model that can really maximize profits, then what you want to do is lock people into your product and your byproducts as much as possible. And that means you play in the season, you condition in the off season, you do summer camps, you take advantage of the conditioners and nutritionists that your premier team has on staff. And as a business model, it's much wiser. It all makes sense. All the arguments against specialization are good unless you're run one of these businesses and are trying to maximize your income.
Yeah, I remember the quarterback for Oakland. He was like the $6 million man, Marinovich.
Right.
And he was primed to do that and all, and he was a flop because I don't think his heart was in it. You know, it takes something out of you. Now, the system here, too, so this didn't surprise you, this so-called kind of side door. Wouldn't institutions, they're not dumb on this. Are they not looking at this as an avenue? I mean, that this was going, this guy wasn't that clever singer that I can see. He was pretty blatant about it, and he was all over the place. It wasn't like he was confined to a small number of people.
Yeah, what I found in my research, Dom, is that we're talking about a really fine line here between these alleged acts of fraud and business as usual.
Okay.
It just didn't get created out of whole cloth. There's a system in place
that
provides a kind of lubricated admissions process for recruited athletes. And that's on the books. It's perfectly legitimate. It's perfectly legal. This is what schools have decided to do, to give more weight to recruited athletes than they do to, let's say, minority groups or people of legacies or come from certain high schools. Athletes get the biggest admissions advantage. They get the biggest greasing of the skids.
Let's see if we can take sides on this. I'm sorry to interrupt, Dr. Rick, but could you make the argument for that then? And I'll make the opposite, or if you can, I'll do the other. What's the argument for athletes, top-notch athlete, getting into, say, X school, Villanova, or anywhere else?
Yeah, there's no argument against it if the purpose of your school is to perform well on the court or on the field. If that's what you see as part of your mission, then it makes perfect sense that you're going to give some advantages to people who are good at these activities.
I would say maximum advantage if, let's take Villanova out of it. Let's say you're going to Duke and you're 7 foot and you could shoot at three and all that. They're going to get you in there by hook or by crook, I believe. We've seen it, particularly now that you only have to stay for a year. Is that defensible? A lot of people calling us already about that. They don't like that.
Yeah, well, I think there's two things going on. For the revenue sports, it's a whole other logic. It's a whole other system going on where you get that 7-footer and all of a sudden you're going to be in the playoffs or you're going to make millions of dollars for your university. But what's really interesting about the current scandal is that it's all the non-revenue sports.
Yes.
These are the ones that are like nudge, nudge, wink, wink. And why it's unclear to me in doing this research why schools are so insistent on having, let's say, an ace sailing team or a top-notch women's rowing team. It doesn't seem to lend itself to the real missions of universities, which are academic.
And what does your research say? What is it, or your gut? What does it tell you? Why are they doing it? I have a theory, but go ahead.
It's not so much gut. It's what I found out doing this work is that there are, and again, I wouldn't call this isn't illegal, but there are ways that schools want to kind of game their admission statistics. And, in fact, the University of Pennsylvania was at the forefront of doing this, but not through athletics. They did it more just through straight early admission. And by taking advantage of certain admissions practices, you can suppress your acceptance rates and then raise your perceived selectivity, which increases the applications, and the cycle goes on and on.
Yeah, a bingo. I mean, that's an important point and something I really despise that, because you've suppressed the number of people that don't get in, your percentage, that makes you in the minds of people out there, wow, that's where I really want to get into. Princeton only accepted 0.5 of their students. But it's insane that this is happening. This exposes it.
Yeah,
do you have a book, Dr. Rick, that you've written on this?
Yeah, a book came out last year linking the youth sports system to these kinds of admissions processes. Yeah.
What's the title of your book?
Oh, it's a lot of How College Athletics Are Hurting Girls Sports, The Pay-to-Play Pipeline.
Ah, okay. I wish
Sorry
I had known
mouthful.
That. No, I'd have to get a copy of that. I wish I had known that because
you can find it in any good youth bookstore.
Right? Okay. So, and women's sports particularly. Now, I'm a big fan of what women's sports do in the high school level and beyond as far as the skills that it develops, the same way it used to be for men. Are women's sports being kind of corrupted by all this stuff?
Women's sports, I would argue, are being corrupted even more by it because for men, at least in many sports, they do have a professional outlet. They could look at their youth training as somehow an apprenticeship for an occupation later on. The odds are slim to none.
Right.
But they're there. For women, they're non-existent. So for women, the pot at the end of the women and girls, the pot at the end of the rainbow is some kind of admissions advantage or a college scholarship. So the sports, so the women's sports at the youth level have in the last 20 years really become, as you said before, incredibly specialized, incredibly commercialized. They're all about getting in and through this pipeline. And there's just tons and tons of families who can't either afford the pipeline sports or can't stay in because of transportation woes and getting to practice three or four times a week and out in the suburbs. Or getting to these tournaments that the whole system is really geared around. So I think it's affected women's sports even more. And over the last 30 and 40 years, more slots for women have opened up at the college level.
Right.
And that's acted as a kind of nuclear fuel for the youth sports industry, which has expanded much faster on the girls' side than it has on the boys' side in the last two decades.
I'm glad you're more balanced on this. See, sports, sometimes listeners tell me, are too important to me. I'm talking about the purity of sports. I'm talking about what I learned playing at King of Peace, South Philly, rough circumstances, the competition, the camaraderie. It's all so beautiful, so good, that when I hear the type of stuff that you research and what they've done to it in some of these AAU and all this nonsense, it's just, I don't understand how it's happened, and I guess it's money. That's the bottom line on it.
Yeah, unfortunately, that it's and I think what's coming out now with this particular scandal is you see, as you mentioned earlier, what people are trying to purchase is this prestige.
Yes.
Really, listen, I teach at a school that isn't in this top rank, but we do just as good a job educating students as the elite schools. We might do a better job because we're in the trenches and we know the students and we work with them, and we're not often some ivory tower somewhere doing something. But parents are purchasing this perceived elitism, this perceived prestige, and it has no basis in any kind of metric that's measurable. It's just what people believe. The belief is strong, but it's unfounded.
I couldn't agree more, but you're actually somebody who researched it. I led off the show today talking about the top 30 so-called elite schools. It depends upon the student, the course you're taking. You can get a great education at Villanova, my alma mater, LaSalle, wherever. That's not going to be any much different. The only thing is the prestige of that degree, the mythology. I just hope this whole nonsense exposes that, and I don't know what the remedy is. So let's talk about remedies. You talk about putting a few people in jail is not going to be the thing. What's the remedy if there is one?
Yeah, I mean, this system is so entrenched, and it's legitimate right now.
Right.
So it's possible even that having this specific scandal is going to make it harder to change because people can say, well, it's just a couple of bad apples, and we caught them, and
right.
Now it's back to business as usual. But business as usual is a problem. So my suggestions that I make in my book are mostly on the sports side, not on the faking the SAT stuff. That's a whole other can of worms. But on the sports side, if you eliminated, say, the admissions advantages that are offered to athletes and, say, had tryouts like we used to when in high school, you have a tryout. And the pressure on coaches then to recruit the best athletes and the pressure on admissions officers to make sure that the incoming class is filled, you would kind of eliminate that. You would take sports out of the equation of who should or shouldn't get into college, because college is about learning and academics and education. It's fun that you have all these sports, and it's good for the athletes and sometimes for the other students to go watch the games, but it's not necessary. You could have higher education without all of these athletic teams, and a lot of schools will have 30 and 40 teams, and 40 or 50% of the student body is on a team. And again, I think that's because it helps lock them into admissions much earlier in the process. So you could eliminate that, or you could, if you just eliminated recruitment, which would be a sort of side way into eliminating the admissions advantage. If people want to go to a school and be on the lacrosse team, they go and they try out. I think that would be that would take a big step toward doing that. But right now, the message that's being sent to families is that there is a side door.
Yep.
And somehow this pay-to-play youth sports system is seen as a legitimate way to get to the side door as opposed to paying off coaches. And I agree there's a difference there, but it's not much different.
No, it is not. It is not.
You pay $20,000 a year to be on a premier soccer team, and not everyone can do that.
Yep, absolutely. Hey, I'm so glad that I read what you wrote, and I will get your book, and we'd love to stay in touch with you, Dr. Rick. Thanks for joining us today.
Thanks, Dom. Good being with you.
Dom Giordano, weekdays 9 till noon on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.